everyone, welcome to the latest episode of the Early Years Insight. I'm Kathy Leatherbarrow, the Early Years Consultant at Eden. And today my guest is Jess Copland, who is the Higher Level Skills Coach for our Level 5 learners on their Early Years Lead Practitioner qualification. Welcome, Jess.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Lovely
to have you here today. So, the Level 5, lovely course.
Wonderful, absolutely wonderful.
Lovely course, and it's mainly, as the title says, for lead practitioners.
Yes.
Okay, so we're talking nursery managers.
Yeah.
Deputies.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Anyone who is in that position to be sort of making those direct changes within settings. So I think the most natural progression for our learners, we've had lots of learners that do their level 3, and then that natural progression is to move on to that level 5. So for those people within that management position, even real leaders, anyone who can really make that significant impact, and I think it absolutely does make that significant impact. So those people who are that force behind those changes, it's a perfect qualification for them.
And it's nice to get some CPD though for nursery managers who could have been in the role a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, who spend a lot of time, you know, equipping their skills, you know, the skills and knowledge of their staff, and not necessarily making time for themselves to empower and give them the qualification that they deserve, really.
Absolutely.
As well.
There's lots of feedback that we get from learners is that it really helps them not only professionally and making lots of wonderful, really positive impact within setting, but also personally as well, and they come out with this immense sense of pride, and it really does make a difference within their job role and the overall effectiveness within their setting. So yeah, just a wonderful, wonderful progression route and a real, as you say, CPD opportunity for anyone within those positions.
So how can we attract all these lovely nursery managers and leaders to, you know, take the step, really? Because for some of them, they won't have done a qualification for a long time, and it can be scary dipping back in to that, you know, that environment of gaining a qualification, can't it? When they're at the top of their professional ladder in the nursery, they're doing a really good job, you know. Do I really want to be taking on another qualification now? You know, yes is the answer,
absolutely,
isn't it?
Certainly,
yes, definitely. But how can you sort of explain why that?
So when we really consider the context of our level 5 learners, they are quite often, you know, they've been out of education for a long time. They might have been in management positions for, you know, a short period of time or even a longer period of time. And this might be, as you say, the first step to dipping the toe back into education. And we completely, completely understand that can be a little bit daunting. You think, have I really got the time, you know, to be able to invest in this? It's such hard work managing a setting or being in that management team. So there is lots and lots of support throughout the programme. And as I said before, everything that you're learning while on programme and even in endpoint assessment makes a really positive impact into setting. So they really align well together. But when we recognise that context, that actually there might not be anyone else within the setting that's done the level 5, so you've not got that more knowledgeable other as such as
another support, isn't it?
So we've recognised that, and we have lots and lots of support the whole way through programme and in empowering assessment for those learners that, you know, they come and join us on that programme. So, but I think the main thing is because it fits in so well with that day-to-day. So all of the knowledge, skills and behaviours are really transferable to make that positive impact in setting as well.
And make your job. It sort of enlightens, doesn't it? It sparks that creativity again, and a bit more passion, and to do a really good job that they're doing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can you give some examples of, you know, how the work that they are undertaking and how it supports their day-to-day practice within the nursery, and that it's, you know, it's not a big task, a heavy assignment to complete?
No, absolutely not. So what the level 5 program looks like, so it's an 18-month program. There is lots of sort of group teaching, which are wonderful, because I think as a manager, I've been a nursery manager before, and I think it can sometimes be a really, really lonely place to be, particularly if you're in a smaller setting. And we have our wonderful group teaching sessions where everybody shares their knowledge and experience. So you're picking up ideas anyway, you know, even without the knowledge that you're getting on program, because it's sharing those experiences within the sector. And there's also one-to-one support from, like, myself as a higher level skills coach, lots of support and endpoint assessments. So you are really, really well prepared for that journey. But in terms of things, so one of the sessions is around leadership and how we can develop as leaders. So again, in terms of the level five qualification, it's not just a box ticking exercise of, you know, oh, when we get to empowering assessment, we've got to do these assessments and then we'll be qualified. Everything that you're learning is directly then brought back into setting in, you know, in really flexible and easy ways. So for example, we learn about the theories around leaders, and it really helps you to reflect on who you are as a leader and who you might want to be.
And your, you know, type, and your style of management,
yeah, you
as
know,
well.
Yeah, your management style. And I think that's really important, because particularly maybe if you're a new manager, you've not always got that really defined sort of, you know, who you want to be, who you are. So that's a really valuable one where learners have come back to me and said, you know, I'm dealing with one of the knowledge that we cover is around managing difficult conversations. Mm. Well, within the sector, difficult conversations are, you know, they are an occurrence. So we might be dealing with parents who've got a complaint, or it might be having those tricky conversations with staff. So there's lots of discussions around that and managing those, which again, a really positive impact within day-to-day practice. I think another one in particular, which we get lots of feedback from my level five learners, is developing their own pedagogy and the impact that has on their curriculum setting. Sometimes that word curriculum can be quite a confusing term for us.
It's quite overpowering, really, isn't it?
You know, what is that? What do we want children to learn during their time with us? Yeah. And one of the endpoint assessment methods is through a case study. Now, that may seem quite a big task if you're, you know, if you've got 101 other things to do within management. Yeah.
But seems quite time consuming,
it does seem
doesn't
time
it?
Consuming. Just However, so it's a six week study where you are implementing things within your setting, and we have had so much rich positive feedback from learners that have done it who might have implemented a new approach. So we've had lots of, you know, focusing on the curiosity approach and really implementing that within the setting, having those direct impacts. It might be things like developing a particular area within the setting. So I'll speak to learners before they go on to do that and say, you know, what have you identified in your setting? What are these challenges that you're facing within your setting? And I think that's really important that within that we're helping to support those challenges.
And I think that's key, really, isn't it? As in, they're identifying a challenge.
Absolutely.
And not necessarily identifying something that is pleasurable, it's easy, it's... that's something that they think they can do quickly. I think the key is identifying a challenge,
Definitely. Isn't it?
A challenge and something that can have a really good positive impact that then shows your ability to manage that area of weakness, isn't it, or challenge.
And there's been things like we've had lots of wonderful sort of revitalised outdoor areas where provided a place in that emphasis on physical development for children. We sort of get down to the bare bones of, well, what about the context of your children? How can we make those, you know, we're seeing settings that are making those massive differences for children through this work that actually then at the end they come out with this fabulous qualification and, you know, they're feeling that immense sense of pride. There's other things like we look
but
at
it widens their knowledge as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And their abilities to, that there's other answers and other approaches through different methods and theorists. And for example, you know, you've said outdoor play is a big area for physical development, but equally outdoor play is a big area for communication and language for boys in particular.
Certainly,
isn't it? You know, it's a major factor in their development of communication and language if you take it outdoors. So it's just widening that knowledge base, isn't it? And a different approach to creating better opportunities to what you feel are challenges at the time, isn't it?
And then in terms of other areas, we look at like reflection, and we look at the theories behind that and different ways to reflect. And I think as well as having that personal impact, and you know, if you're coming into this as a real leader or a deputy manager, it's giving you those steps then to you know, for that career progression. But we also want our delivery and what we do for our learners to impact on their own personal life as well. And particularly for me as the skills coach, looking into those reflection theories, I think that's something that I use in my personal life as well as teaching it for reflecting on situations that might arise within my professional life and my personal life. And that really helps to give me the tools to manage those situations. Yeah. So as well as that, you know, it's promoting that well-being and that own personal growth. And I think lots and lots of learners say, you know, I'm so proud of myself, particularly those learners that it might have been many, many years, you know, or they'll come and they say, I just can't do it. It just seems too much of a task. And we'll put that support in place for them. Right, let's break it down. I completely, completely understand that, you know, there's other priorities within, you know, within their setting. But we break it down so it's completely manageable for absolutely everyone to achieve. Mm. We've also got learners that come onto the programme who actually we set those high expectations and that everyone can achieve. So learners who might come on that require those reasonable adjustments like extra time or that bit of extra support, and we can be we can put that in place for absolutely everyone. It might be that, you know, people are watching and listening to this and think, I'd really like to do it, but actually it's been 20 years since I last you know, wrote anything of an academic level, you know, or it might be that, oh, actually, I don't think that I've got the ability there to do that. But that's what we're here to do, is really put all of that support in place so everyone can really thrive.
Yeah, because I think if, you know, if it's been, like you say, it's been a long time and they look back and they think, oh, that level three was hard work. It was, you know, but you're at a different stage in your life then.
Certainly.
A completely different stage in your life. And you've achieved a managerial role in some shape or form. So you obtain the qualification that, you know, reflects your abilities and your capabilities, but also provides you with more tools to manage and deliver your job better, isn't it? Yeah. Can you give some examples of, you know, scenarios that, you know, that where people have been a bit fearful of, like, theorists and approaches and how then that has impacted so positively into their setting?
So quite often, obviously, there's that relationship that's built up there throughout the programme and then an endpoint assessment. And I think theories are a big one that people say,
isn't it?
I do what I do and, you know, I know that that's the right thing to do, but I don't know why I do it and what, you know, what somebody from 50 years ago says that they should do it. And it's about making that learning really relatable. So everything, particularly within my teaching and support that we're giving while on the programme, is relating it back to that real life. Yeah. So in terms of what that looks like, you know, really applying those. I had a support session earlier with a learner, and we looked at, right, well, these are the reflection theories. This is what Donald Sherrod says.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, it's all just words. So we said, right, tell me about the last time you reflected. So she said, oh, well, actually, I had a child who they were building a tower and it kept falling down. So I said, right, how did you reflect on that? Or another one where we had a child who they were scooping pom-poms with a spoon. And she said, oh, and I noticed that actually they were getting a bit bored and, you know, really was my intent being met. I wanted them to develop the fine motor skills. So I went and I got them some tongs. And I gave them those tongs and the practice using those small muscle skills and developing that fine motor control. And I said, well, there you go. Then you've used Donald Sherrod's theory right there because you've reflected in that moment. You've thought on your feet. And then we relate it to, well, Donald Sherrod talks about reflection on action. Yeah. What does that look like? Tell me about when you've reflected, possibly when you've come away from something and what you did. So we're relating everything in terms of the practice one, so it makes it much more easy to, you know, be able to really showcase those knowledge, those and behaviours in endpoint assessment, but also so then, you know, managers can then go back, they can cascade this knowledge down and to them.
Because it's memorable.
Well.
Yeah. It's memorable because they've, you know, it's an experience that they've done, that they've gone through the process and it's, you know, it's reflected back. Yeah. You've taught, you know, you've explained And then it becomes rememberable, doesn't it? It's not just words on a paper that they've got to read, think, digest and understand, isn't it?
Everything is really, really well embedded to that. When learners finish a teaching session, they can take that directly back into their practice and make those immediate positive changes, which is what we want.
Because it's empowering as an individual, isn't it? It's empowering as an individual. If you've learned something and then you can share that information with your staff team and it's took on board and used, it's just a quick, clear, showcase of your knowledge that you've learned, isn't it?
We've had learners who the manager in the setting has done the qualification, they've gone through on point assessment, they've applied all their things, and then we've got other members of the management team and room leaders and the deputy that said, we want to do this.
Yeah, we want to be part of that.
We've seen that, and that's the thing, it's about that continuous self-improvement, but also I think as managers and leaders, talking as a someone who was in the sector management for a long time, we are so passionate about our settings and want to make that difference to in terms of maintaining a positive business, but also to the children. They're always our priority, aren't they? In terms of their well-being and their development, and managers that. They come and they do it and they're saying, I've done this and I've done that and, I've taken that back into practice. And I think that's what's so wonderful about this, that even though it is a higher level qualification, even though, it's hard work because it is going to be, it's all so relatable and it's something that can work really well alongside your day-to-day.
And I think you touched on it slightly there, because the majority, I'd say almost all managers, have been nursery practitioners. Yes. So that passion for good education, well looked after children, a thriving nursery environment is there because, let's face it, you're only in that job if you love it.
Of course, absolutely.
Isn't it? You're not in there for any other reason other than you love working with children and making a difference into their early, their early years of life, isn't it? And creating all those building blocks. So then to get that extra level of qualification to further empower and enforce that must be really satisfying as a manager,
isn't it? Absolutely. And I think lots of staff look up to their managers and to see somebody, a manager who might have done their other qualifications a long time ago, that's really inspiring. And I think lots of managers come to me and say, I want to inspire the staff and I want us all to be a really high quality and highly educated and knowledgeable workforce. And I think doing that as a manager really sets that
well it does forward, doesn't it, because there's no end to anybody's learning or education. There's always something else, isn't there, to increase your knowledge, to increase your skills, to increase your input, isn't there? So there's no to get your manager doing that course sets a really good example, doesn't it?
Absolutely. There's lots of other ways in which we can sort of extend and develop the program even further in terms of lots of additional CPD. So we have the Senko course that can go alongside that, the Child Developing Mind, which is
it's my favourite. It's course. My favourite.
It was certainly one of my favourite CPD courses that I've done recently.
I regularly dip on it. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, absolutely love it.
That I really took back into my home life as well, working with my own children and my expectations.
Yeah. And do you find use your language and your questioning differently now? Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and just having those realistic expectations of the brain, I suppose. But lots and lots of, and we can really take what you're passionate about and go down, really go down that route.
It's not regimented, is it? It's not set in stone.
But I do think it's really, really inspiring as a member of that leadership team to be, waving that flag for continued CPD and continuous. Everything is always evolving. So in terms of you getting that most up-to-date knowledge, we're ensuring that compliance. We look at legislations and things like that. But again, in a really relatable way. So we look at what does this legislation say, but how are you implementing that into practice?
Because it can be hard to, you know, read it and understand it. It's a skill in itself, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Yeah. And I think that that's another one, just making sure that, you know, everything that we're doing is, you know, what we're meant to be doing, but also we're going above and beyond to really make a positive difference. And that's what our managers want, isn't it? That's
then. Because what else could it lead them on to?
So following the level five, there is in the talks of a level six apprenticeship, and that's currently something that's still being developed. So that would always be that possibility there. But in terms of
what about their career progression?
Career progression, we could be looking at things like, you know, if you are a manager, then moving into that managerial team. I've got quite a few room leaders who are doing the qualification at the minute. So they're hoping to then allow them to progress in that area. Area managers, it might be focusing on something that they're particularly passionate about. So working with children with special educational needs and or disabilities and things like that. So lots and lots of following that passion. I think that's really important when you find your area.
Your interest.
And you see, you know, you see that difference there.
Yeah. It seems good, isn't it? Really good. Because do you find, I know I've been doing a lot of reading recently about the care of young babies. It seems to be an area that I feel passionate about in terms of, it's unless you pick up on it as an area of your desired, you know, learning. You know, sometimes it can be left out, can't it, slightly? You know, so do you do much on, do you find that people pick, you know, the knowledge and care of babies?
Yeah, I think, as you say, it depends on your area. So when we have those initial meetings and we're forming those professional relationships there, it's really important to get to know the learner and what's important to them, and also what their role is and how we can support them specifically. And making things relatable to where they are. So we have quite a few sort of room leaders that are leading practice in baby rooms and working with Dr. Twos and looking at things like, well, how can we? I've read a wonderful case study recently about supporting early literacy development with babies in the 0 to 2 room, which we might not always think about.
Nice.
But actually they really looked at those things of how can we set those building blocks for that specific area for when those children move up and really making those differences early on. We know that the early years is fun, you know, it's so important. It's fundamental to the rest of children's education. So it's about finding out what's important to them, where they are within their room, but it covers the whole span across.
Because you usually find people will pick out SEN, English as an additional language, disabilities, they're all the ones that pop up as areas of needing support, development, focus. But care of babies sometimes can be forgotten about little. Not forgotten, but it's never quite up there on the list, is it?
We look at things such as like the schools of thought around nurturing and personal care routines and you know what they should look like, and we look behind not only what we do but how is what we're doing aligning with children's rights and respecting those. We look at attachment theory, that's a big one within that, and you know, setting that attachment theory and looking at transitions, that's another big one that when it comes to endpoint assessment that some learners choose to really focus on those attachment theories and those transitions and you know, for babies coming into the setting and how we can really put things in place for them.
Nice.
I think that's so important, isn't it, that as a manager to have those staff that inspired by you and to really set that love of learning.
That's it, isn't it? Because if you've just got a manager that's just stuck, isn't it? Because you can easily become stuck and bogged down with the huge responsibility of running a nursery. It can be quite a brave step, really, to sort of.
I think the rewards for that are, you know, of there's lots and lots of rewards from it, but we have really, really understanding and realistic of what managers day-to-day looks like. And that's why, in terms of the curriculum that, we've put together, there is that, support there, you know, and that clear target setting to help fit in with that workload and that time.
Because managers now, they work so much in isolation, don't they? You know, if you think back, you know, 5, 10, 15 years ago, there was huge support mechanisms in place for managers through local authorities, Sure Start programs, and that most of that's gone now. And, you know, there's a lot of responsibility, a lot of isolation, and it takes somebody quite brave, really, to just step out into another world, really, and take that step on empowering yourself and equipping yourself with further knowledge, skills, and enthusiasm for your staff team as well, isn't it? As well as yourself.
Yeah, and being that positive role model for yourself, actually the sky's the limit, and you know, really making that positive.
Because it doesn't stand still,
no,
does it? Especially in early years, you know, it's always, you know, there's always papers being published, there's loads of research going on, and it can all impact yourself and your setting and your staff team, and fundamentally the children that you're looking after.
There's always growth, isn't there? Because we're never caring for the same children. Our cohorts are always changing, you know, and things are always changing within the sector. So I think that's the main thing of being at that forefront of that and having that most up-to-date and current knowledge and being able to really pick and choose the bits from it that make that best impact into your setting.
Because I know a lot of nurseries at the moment are finding, you know, they're still dealing with the recovery of COVID, aren't they? Yeah. And the impact that that's had on children's personal and social development, their communication, the prime areas of learning have all been heavily affected and delayed because of, you know, that global pandemic that we all found ourselves within, you know. And it's I think we're going to be picking up the pieces from that for quite some time, aren't we? We're going to, you know, be changing the way that we look after and nurture and educate children throughout that as they all work their way through their education system, aren't they?
Absolutely. I think something that we really look at is that context and the setting and where that is. And those challenges, like I said before, to make that, you know, we look at that. There's this fabulous analogy that actually one of my level five learners told me, and I tell everyone now, probably at least once a day. So they're making a really big impact on me as well as hopefully me on them, about how we imagine that all children will come into the setting and they're wearing this imaginary backpack. I always like to put it on as well when I'm telling the story. And some children's backpacks are overflowing. And some children's backpacks are empty, and it's our job as early as educators to, you know, really promote that cultural capital and give children those knowledge and skills that they need to succeed. And I think from this programme we can really take that away to really get to that nitty-gritty of our children and exactly what it is that they need. And that looks different in different settings. It looks different, you know, in different learners that I see each day. You know,
and it'll change. Your setting will change, won't it?
And it's that evolving nature of the sector, I think, that having those leaders and managers and those dedicated staff to actually find it out, you know, what is really important at the minute? What, you know, what are those challenges? What can we be supporting with?
Fact-finding, isn't it?
Yeah, and just really being up there and flying that flag for that excellence in early years.
Being adaptable, isn't it? Adaptable to ensure that, you know, like we always say, don't we, every child's unique.
Yeah.
But therefore each practitioner needs to be unique in their approach, don't they?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jess, for joining me today. It's been lovely talking to you about Level 5. And I hope to see you soon.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.